I'm speaking from the Old Testament this morning, from Jeremiah chapter 11 and through 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope. And that's the word for today, hope and a future. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. You know, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a, knowing I'd be up here this morning, there have been a whole bunch of things that are going around in my mind of what would be the message, you know. And even this morning when I was in the shower, I didn't have a title for my message. But then it came to me in the shower. And I'm just going to call it life. But one time when I was here, I preached, it was called That's Life. So I'm going to just entitle it this morning, it's called Life. And for those who get the opportunity to be up the front and preach the word will understand where the inspiration for a sermon comes from. Obviously, it comes through, it's always birthed in prayer. And sometimes the inspiration would come from when you're reading the Bible, either a sentence or a word will kind of come out at you and maybe even slap you in the face. And you say, yes, that's it for today, right, Narelle? Yes, he understands. You're nodding, Paul. Yep. Well, they're in agreement there. And of course, Doug. Up the back there. And so that's what happens. And sometimes the inspiration for a message can come from everyday circumstances, such as a news item or a conversation that you might be in. When you look at the model of Jesus, Jesus told stories. He told parables as illustrations. And for me personally, I tend to remember stories. I have a friend of mine who is a pastor of a big church, retired now. But once in a while, and he was a dynamic preacher, but once in a while, he would get on this theological white horse. And what would happen? People would go whoosh, just right over the top of their head, you know. But yes, he was a good preacher. And the truth is the gospel is simple. It's not complicated. Man has complicated the gospel. So after the introduction, I want to share with you just a couple of things that over the last little while that I have encountered in personal experiences. But I don't need to tell you that the world is going through some very interesting times right now. Anybody agree with me on that one? Very interesting times indeed. But just in case you've forgotten, let me remind you that Melbourne had the longest lockdown of any city in the world. Remember that? Yeah. It's true. And, you know, what we were experienced during lockdown was totally foreign to us all. You know, children were not allowed to go to school. Children weren't even allowed to go into the park to play. And we as good citizens had to be in our homes in lockdown, a curfew at 8 o'clock at night. I remember I used to go to the front door and kind of look out the door to see what was going on outside. And you see the occasional car up and down. You think, well, where are they going? Supposed to be indoors. And only some people could go to work. And they were classed as essential workers. And they were the nurses and the doctors and all those frontline people. And thank you, Lord, for them, that they were there. And I can tell you, people, that COVID is real. You know, for those of you who have experienced COVID will understand what I'm talking about. You know, COVID visited my house and kind of knocked us off our feet. But you know, I think the community now is COVID fatigued. We've had enough of it. We're sick of hearing about it. And here I am talking about it again this morning. Sorry. But I can't recall in all my years of being a Christian, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 plus years. But I can never remember a Sunday when the church was closed on a Sunday. Never mind for months and months on end. You remember when we first came back, and I think Paul did the first sermon outside, and we did it on the balcony. We all had to wear our masks and stuff like that. And during that time, during the time of lockdown, we learned a whole bunch of new words. And I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about new words that we've learned. and it's called linguistic creativity. You know, some of the young folks, by the way, say words now, they abbreviate words. And for instance, they never say, how's the family? They say, how's the fam? What was the other one we learned last night, Margaret? Can you remember? Come on. We're watching a real estate program. And what the young folks are doing is abbreviating words and making them shorter. And there are some words that the kids give me today, and I'm talking about people in their 20s and 30s. I don't even know what they're talking about. I have no idea. But so we've learned all these new words, linguistic creative. And then we've used words that we rarely ever use. Like we use the word in lockdown, pandemic, lockdown, quarantine, mask, isolation, curfew. We never used to use those words before, or hardly ever. And then all of a sudden, other words came in, the word COVID. I didn't know what COVID was. I'd never heard of COVID before. Social distancing. I'd never heard that word before. And COVID has changed the ways of our lives. COVID has closed businesses and transformed the way we work now. You know, I was at the gym the other morning and I was speaking to a fellow there that works in the city in a big company in the city. And he said to me, I said, how long since you've been there? He said, I'm going to the office today. He said, in the last 2.5 years, he had visited his office 5 times in 2.5 years. So things have changed, folks. Life has changed. And I don't think it will ever, ever be the same again. You know, and what we've been going through, there are some very serious side effects. And what I want to do is talk about life. You know, businesses have been forced into bankruptcy. Families are losing their homes. And people are suffering from mental illness, both children and adults. You know, years ago, we didn't talk about mental illness. I was talking to a social worker the other day, and the cost of what's happened is enormous. So here we are. So I've made the introduction. Here's the question for you today. What is our part in all this? What is our part in all this? You know, as people who believe in the creator of the universe, our God in heaven, you know, and we can get caught up in negativity and criticism of individual or governments. I've been there. I've criticized, not, you know, really because of a sense of frustration. But we are a people of hope, and we need to give hope into a hurting world. People right outside this door are hurting. You know, you look at the Ukraine and the Ukraine people. Last Sunday, I had two Ukrainian folks visit me. They used to be our neighbours in Oak Park. Now they are our neighbours in Strathmore. And I said to them, how are the things in Ukraine? And they said, John, there are atrocities over there. Now, little children wandering up to the Ukraine-Polish border. 4 and 5 year olds by themselves because their parents have been killed. Families obliterated. Some, talking about children, have had lost their limbs, legs and arms during the bombings. And they were saying that the version that we get on the news is a sanitized version. And in fact, even now, and I normally read the Herald Sun when I go to the coffee shop in the morning, there's not even a word about the Ukraine there anymore. I don't think I've heard much on television anymore. It's all now about, you know, the rise of milk and bread and things like that. When you start to look at the things in the Ukraine, maybe the milk and bread, yes, they're important, but when you look back there, that's real life back there in the Ukraine. The world needs hope. You know, I'm dealing, and my wife will confirm. Sometimes my phone will start at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm dealing with a couple of fellas now, and I've got permission to talk about them. I just won't use their names. And I got a call the other morning at probably just after 4 a.m. And he said, John, this fella's from the infantry as a former active, a soldier, was active duty and in the infantry. In fact, we're dealing with two of them. The other man was a bomb disposal expert. And both have very interesting stories. And I call them my friends, but one of them I don't even know what he looks like. It's all through the phone. As I said, this one friend of mine left me a message at about, 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. My phone goes off a lot at that time in the morning. He said, "John, I don't want to be here anymore. I've had enough." And then he gave me some details of his children. So I got on the phone and we had a chat. And so we got through the day. I keep an eye on him. And this particular fellow has got both him and the bomb disposal fellow, Mark, are both suffering with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, and this particular fellow who said to me, "I won't be anymore," he was out that afternoon with another mate of his. This is life, by the way. He was out with his mate having coffee, another military fellow, returned military, again was in active duty. So they had coffee together, they bid farewell, and that was it. A number of hours later, my friend gets a call from this fellow's partner, the fellow he'd had coffee with, to say that he'd just taken his life. So you can imagine my friend went into a tailspin. He's always in and out of psychiatric hospitals, sometimes on a daily basis, goes straight back into the psychiatric hospital. You know, and PTSD is caused through some traumatic event or experience that someone's had in the past. Sometimes it takes a couple of years to manifest and come back, but it does. And people who suffer with that post-traumatic stress often experience a sense of hopelessness and depression, and even, sadly, suicidal thoughts. But as I said, he gave me permission to tell his story. And so, you know, we are a people of hope. So when I was speaking to him, you know, there are two ways you can go. I can hit him full on with the gospel and probably blow him out the back door. Or I can do what the scripture says, to be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. So I spoke to him about hope. And he said to me, "You know, John, I'm wearing my cross. And I've got it close to my heart." Well, you know, the door of hope is just ajar, just a little bit for this fella. And each time that we encounter each other, I'll tell him a little more. And he said, "John, what do I say to his family, the fellow that's taken his life?" And I said, "Well, sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you just need to be there and be available." So I told him about the story about Job. You know the story about Job. You know, Job was a man that had favor with God. You know, he had everything. He was very wealthy. And then if you read the story of Job, what happened? He got bad news after bad news after bad news. While they were telling him bad news, there was more bad news. The next one wanted to tell him what had happened. And finally it was that, you know, Job, his children were having a party. All 10 children he had. And while the party, a great wind came along and the building collapsed and his children were all killed. The Bible says that Job tore his clothes and shaved his head, and he just sat in the ground and he poured dust on his head. He sat there. And then from afar, his friends could see him. And they could hardly recognize Job the way he looked. He had sores on him. And he just sat there. And they were so disturbed that they started to cry themselves. And then they came and they sat beside Job. They tore their clothes. They put dirt on their heads and just sat there. And for 7 days and seven nights, they said nothing. And the point I'm making here is sometimes we don't have to say anything. But just like Job's mates, they were there. They were available. You know, and we live in a world that people outside this door have no hope. And they feel there's no hope. And every day what we do is we hear on the radio, you know, inflation, this, that, and just bad news after bad news. We're the bearers of good news. The world might be out of control, but God is in control. Amen? Amen. I'm almost there. And in spite for Job, all that had happened, he was a man of faith and a man of hope. As I said, my friend just reminded you again. He said, John, I'm wearing my cross close to my heart. It's a start. And by coincidence, the fellow I told you about, the bomb disposal person from the Navy, and we had a chat, and I asked him to come to Melbourne. He flew from Brisbane to Melbourne. We had a meet. I spent the day with him, took him out to a restaurant close to home, and I took him back to the airport. And as coincidence would be, one of my former associates from the Uniting Church, you know, just bombed us over, you know, he said, John, I can't take any pressure. As I said, one of my associates from the Uniting Church, Mark, lives here, and right across the street there's this fellow called John, and they've met up. And I thought that was quite amazing that there's this fella, but God is looking after him. And we've talked about it. You know, he said, John is looking after my spiritual needs. And this guy is a strong Christian, John. As I said, he was a pastor within the United Church. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying that we are a people of hope. To our families, to those who are close to us. You know, I thought about old-time values there, and you know, I don't want to be one of these old-timers go, but remember back in the old days? But things were different in the old days, young people. You know, Margaret and I could leave our house, put the oven on for the roast on Sundays, probably even leave the door open. When you come home, the roast was still in the oven and no one had been in your house, you know. Old days, Tony, remember those old days? They were good days. That's it. Yeah, now the Greys go to a coffee shop. Okay, so what I'm saying is we can impart to others hope, or the shalom of God. You know, shalom, by the way, can mean is a greeting. It can mean hello and goodbye. You know, I have a lot of Jewish folks that I meet up with occasionally. I went in the other day. And I can say to that particular person, shalom, means hello. Or I can say shalom, goodbye. But it also has other meanings. You can translate the word shalom, peace, harmony, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. So we are able to impart to others the shalom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for this gathering of your people. Just as Narelle said before, when there are one or two people that gathered, then there you are. So, Lord, we thank you today for your love and for your power, for your presence. Just that we're able to come and be here with you. What I'd like to do while we're in prayer, just to close your eyes. I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. And I used to have a friend of mine, pastor, and what he would do often, he would pick out two or three scriptures, said, there may be one of these will apply to you today. And maybe it is as your eyes are closed and we're in that attitude of prayer. Maybe there's a scripture here today. They're not long, they're short. That maybe one of them is for you. And maybe one of those you can take home, maybe even two. In Proverbs 20, it says, wait for the Lord and he will help you. In John 16, verse 33, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will find trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. In Isaiah, it says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be anxious, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious hand. John 14, my peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, or do not be afraid. In Psalm 30, for the anger lasts but a moment, his favor a lifetime. At dusk, weeping comes for night, but in the dawn comes rejoicing. In Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all, with joy and peace. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. And finally, Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for those scriptures that can bring us comfort and peace. Thank you, Lord, that those scriptures we can, you know, impart to others through the shalom of God. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, you know the needs of the people here today. You know every hair on their head. So, Lord, we just thank you today for your love, for your peace, and that you've called and commissioned us to go into the world. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.